I'm going to sniffle all day, aren't I? I have great news for you today. Who could use a little good news today? I know I could, and it's amazing to me how often, and I don't always mention it, but I'll prepare a word because it's next on the list. It's on the next verse that maybe I should turn that off. It's the next verse that is in the series, and then I come that morning and I said, Lord, how did you know that's what I needed to hear today? And so I have a message about the peace of the Lord that comes in every season of our life. Who could use a little peace right about now in their life? This is supposed to be the season of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. This is supposed to be that time where the gospel just comes and sets us free. And still, I know that this is one of the most difficult times of the year for some people. You know, on the night that Doug passed away was the one-year anniversary of my son losing his best friend to suicide last year. And it was on a Wednesday night. Some of you were here when I had to leave the service early and go and to comfort him and to be up there with the family at their house. And so I just know from my personal experience, this is a happy, happy time of the year. But for some of us, it brings back a lot of emotions. Not everybody has a positive experience at Christmas. And it's so sad because it is the happiest time of the year. As far as I'm concerned, there's only really two seasons of the year that matter. There's summer and there's Christmas. The rest of them are just kind of on the way to one of those two things, right? And so if you're one of those that has that kind of dark winter emotion or that time when, you know, you're struggling with something during the Christmas time, I just have a good word for you today. What I love about this series, and this is going to conclude the series for the fall, entitled The Faithful Promises, is that these promises that Jesus gave us, they are faithful in every season. No matter who is the president, no matter what kind of cars people are driving, no matter who wins the football game, no matter who likes you or who hates you, no matter what, his promises are faithful. They always come true. They are always fulfilled. They never go out of style. You know, there's a lot of things different that we do now than churches did 100 years ago or 500 years ago. We have different clothes. We sing different music. You know, as we get older, all the styles change. You know, I didn't think I'd change that much until somebody shows me pictures of when we first started pastoring here, like 27 years ago. It was a lot different. There was a lot more going on up here. There was a lot less going on down here. And it was just, everything was different. Our styles were weird. I thought I would, you know, was wearing styles that would last for a while. You can't do it. But seasons come and go, but God's word never changes. God's word never changes. And so in John chapter 25, it says this, and Jesus kind of concludes this series of wonderful things that he said in John chapter 14. He says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. I love that. The Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to remind us of those things that Jesus said to us, that faithful promise. And here it is. Would you read it with me? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. What a wonderful thing. You know, Jesus left us something in his will. If he had a will, he left us something, and it wasn't money, it wasn't land. He left us his peace. He left it to us. He promised it to us. He willed it to us. And because he knew that his disciples were going to be grief-stricken. You know, we've known the story of Jesus' death and resurrection for all of our lives. And so it's sometimes hard to imagine that the disciples, too, were in incredible pain when Jesus passed away. We can only imagine. But I am so convinced one of the reasons that the Bible, the Word of God, from cover to cover, is so powerful and enduring and still changes people's life is because every single word in it was written in the occasion of great pain and trauma. Every single word of it. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the story leading up to Jesus' life and then his death and resurrection. You know, in one of the Gospels, about 60%, three-fifths of it, are to just to tell the story about Jesus dying. It starts and leads up to that moment when he left. So you know, that entire book, as far as they were concerned, was written to explain why they had to go through such hardship. In fact, you know, you could even say when the Apostle Paul then began to frame some of those stories, and his was even before the Gospels, how much of it was dedicated to the fact that Jesus died and rose again, and the significance of his death. Why? Because his disciples and the whole early church was going through an incredible trauma. They were devastated. They were beside themselves. If you could only imagine, they had put all of their hope in him. He was their redeemer. He was the one that was going to sit on David's throne. He was the embodiment of everything written in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. All of the prophets and all of the Psalms, all of those great Psalms written in the times of King Hezekiah, which is a lot of them. This last week I was just meditating a lot on the book of Isaiah and all of those verses and chapters about the Emmanuel. God, he says, I want you to, unto you there's a son that's born and you're going to call him Emmanuel. You're going to give him a theophoric name. It means a name that has God's promise wrapped up into it. And the name Emmanuel means God with us. And that was a promise from 8 centuries before Jesus was born about how King Hezekiah was going to be that unifier, going to take all of the 12 tribes and put them together, and God was going to put his spirit on him. But even when the prophet said it, he could not have imagined that the one that was going to completely embody that forever was going to be Jesus Christ. He was going to be the king that sits on the throne and that unifies us and draws us together and brings God's purposes into it. And Hezekiah, as great as he was in the Old Testament, he was just a precursor. He was a prototype, but he was an earthly king. He couldn't be all of those things for us today, but Jesus was that king that rules and reigns forever. And so he leaves us this promise. He says, my peace I give to you. And then he tells them two things. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I want to talk about the condition of our heart today and how his peace comes into our hearts. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I love that. We think often that that's just kind of a suggestion about being happy all the time. But peace is stronger than just happiness. It comes in even when we're troubled. That Greek word is terasso, which means to be agitated or stirred up or just kind of boiled over in your spirit. Anybody ever feel like that? I think I have once or twice. Just kind of, just not really doing really well. One of my teenagers, and I think all of our family goes in and out of depression, doesn't yours? And I just was trying to convince one of them to go to school. He says, Dad, I just feel like I've got a low grade, not feeling well. And I said, I know exactly how you feel. Just that kind of, you're just not well. Anybody ever felt like that? There's just something that's just uneasy in their spirit. Something's not right. Maybe you can put your finger on it. You know where the stress is coming. Maybe, you know, that's the worst case is when you feel that depression and you don't even really have any logical reason to be depressed. And then that makes you depressed about being depressed when you've got no reason to be depressed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And Jesus says, when your heart's troubled, that's when my peace comes. That's when my peace comes. Wherever we go, we can bring shalom with us. That's the Old Testament word, by the way, shalom. It's where Leonard Nimoy got this for Spock. Any Star Trek nerds know what this is? Okay, so Leonard Nimoy was Jewish. And when he grew up going to synagogue, he would watch the priest do this blessing and make this hand sign. What is this? This is the letter Shin in the Hebrew alphabet. Can you do this? Let me see it. All right. This is the letter Shin. And so what would he say? This is a geek test. Thank you. You passed, Tom. Excellent. Way to go. It's live long and prosper, which is what the word shalom means. Not only does it mean live long, not only does it mean prosper, but it means be well, be happy, be prosperous, be healthy. May the Lord bless you, not just with wishful thinking, but with actual peace. with the kind of peace that changes somebody's life. And Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out, and he gave them this very interesting instruction. I always love this because it's one of the verses that I want to ask Jesus follow-up questions about. But he said, when you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. That last part, I don't even think I really understand what he's saying. You know, that peace is something that you can impart. And that if people don't want to take it, it's just going to come back to you. But I like that the first part of it. I just love it. I want to be a peace bringer. Anybody else? Jesus said, the children of God are peacemakers. That everywhere we go, we make peace. Where there isn't peace, we make it. We bring it. Every time we go to Walmart, we bring the shalom. Every time we go to the gas station, we bring the shalom. Have you ever met somebody that brings the other thing? Everywhere they go, they just bring trouble and anxiety. And who wants to be around them, right? But man, oh, I tell you, and it's too fresh for me to tell you too many stories about our friend at the front door. But talk about someone that brought shalom. Yeah, how many times have you come to church and you just felt better even just from coming in the door? And that's powerful. That's powerful. Before you even heard a word of encouragement. You and I can do that. We can. We can't replace him. Some people are irreplaceable. But we can be peacemakers. We can be peace bringers. Oh, man, here's where I got to tell a funny story. Because I was down in Coquille when I started off, and I had my first car was a 71 Jeep Wagoneer, and it was beautiful. It was awesome. It was 20 years old when I bought it. The color is President Red, and it's one of the greatest colors GM ever invented. It's kind of a fire engine red with just enough orange in it where it looked awesome. Chrome everywhere, that fake wood stripe on the side, chrome wheels. I had surf stickers in the window. It was the ultimate youth pastor car. But it didn't turn worth a duck. It turned like a pig. So you had to take big, wide turns. And I was going to Dairy Queen. Remember Dairy Queen? And it was on the right side of the road in Coquille and coming up over the hill. And in order to get into the driveway, I had to kind of, was in the right lane, and I had to kind of make a right turn like this. And I think I signaled. But there was some guy in a muscle car behind me. And when he saw my big old Jeep go kind of to the left a little bit to make that turn, he got to the right of me and kind of punched it to get around me. And then I turned right in front of him. Tires squealed. And then I pulled in. I thought it was all over because we didn't hit each other. But he did a whole circle. I went in there, you know, just barreling up on me. You know, he was a little angry. He was a lot of bit angry. He hopped out of his car and started yelling and cussing at me and said, "Who do you think you are?" You know, he told me that, you know, he had to slam on his brakes and his dog hit the dashboard. And I said, "Well, why wasn't he wearing his seatbelt?" No, I didn't say that, but he was all hot and bothered and ready to fight. And then I got out. And I just tell you, part of this story is if you're going to deal with somebody that's a little hot under the collar, it helps to be 6'9" and three big boys. Because it kind of slows him down a little bit. So he just went like this. And "You made me, my dog hit the dashboard," and all this stuff. And I just let him talk for a minute because I thought, you know, it was my fault. And I just let him yell and yell and yell. I said, sir, I said, "Can I just say one thing?" And he said, "What?" I said, "I am really sorry to cut you off. I did not mean to cut you off. I didn't see you back there, and my car doesn't turn right, and I love dogs. I'm sorry about your dog. And I just wish you could accept my apology." And he said, well, all right, don't let it happen again. But it just calmed down. He didn't know what to do with that. You know, he was used to somebody yelling and cussing back at him. He wasn't used to somebody just saying, "I'm sorry." You know, he wasn't used to somebody that just wanted to make peace. And I just thought, man, how many times do we have opportunities like that just to be a peacemaker? Just to bring the shalom in a situation when somebody's not having a great day. Anybody with me? And so there are so many opportunities like that. And friends, there is no peace like having Jesus on the throne of your heart. I want to go back to this. And this is why I love the Hebrew Bible, by the way. Because I understand where these scriptures, and I'm going to read you one that's one of the greatest Christmas verses. out of Isaiah 9 that was a promise. Now, this is a promise and a blessing about an earthly king named Hezekiah, but no earthly king could fulfill all of these grandiose visions. And so the Holy Spirit, through the prophets, was prophesying things that only Jesus could fulfill ultimately. But here was his words. He says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. You know, the best of the Hebrew scholars say that those last titles with those eight words are actually one name. It's like a big, long, they did this back in the ancient world. They would give their kings a big, long name that had like 10 words in it. And it would talk about God's blessing and his rule and reign, the things that king was supposed to represent. So it wasn't necessarily calling the king the Everlasting Father. It was saying your name is going to be, and he was going to represent the Everlasting Father. Now, but what the wonderful part is who but Jesus could be all of those things? He is a Wonderful Counselor. He is the Mighty God. He is the Everlasting Father. And he is what? The Prince of Peace, the Shar Shalom. He is the Prince that brings peace into the world. You know, did you know this? Nobody really knows the day that Jesus was born. We celebrated on December 25th. We even have songs that say, Jesus, this is your birthday. It's really not. It's just the day that we celebrate. And the early church actually had several different days that they would celebrate the birth of the king. It was sometime around the time of Emperor Constantine that they just adapted another holiday, which was the winter solstice. Now, what is the winter solstice? It's the shortest day of the year. How many have been struggling with the darkness? Oh, man, it gets dark. I walk outside and it's dark and it feels like it's trying to choke me out. It's so dark and gloomy. And I say, why in the world would we celebrate? And then I think, what better day of all days on the calendar to celebrate the light of the world coming in? That Jesus coming and bringing that brightness in there. And so they chose December 25th and they just put it on the calendar and they said, let's make winter solstice the day when we celebrate the coming of the Lord, because he was the light that came into a dark place. St. Augustine of Hippo described the day like this. He says, hence, it is that he was born on the day which is the shortest on our earthly reckoning, and from which subsequent days begin to increase in length. He, therefore, who bent low and lifted us up, chose the shortest day, and the one whence light begins to increase. And so I can't wait. To me, it's like when the astronauts went onto the dark side of the moon and everything went dark. I just can't wait till the light comes back. As far as I'm concerned, December 25th is the day. In fact, that's not even the solstice. It's usually a different day. But that's the day when summer begins. That's the day when the days start getting longer. Just a little bit, but it just gives me hope. And friends, Jesus said, when I give you my peace, you got no reason to be troubled in your heart. The other thing he said is, and do not be afraid. More specifically, in this verse, he uses a word that's only used twice in the Bible. So there are a lot of mentions of fear, phobos, which is just the general sense of fear. But more specifically, what Jesus says is, don't let your heart be troubled and don't be fearful. You hear the difference? There's being afraid. That's one thing. There's a difference. Oh, man, was that somebody's phone? You cannot escape. That's against the rules. Your phone goes off. I get to talk to that person. Usually it's like this. Hello? They can't come to the phone right now. They're listening to an awesome sermon. So can they call you back afterwards? It's just fun. What else can you do? Your phone goes off. I get to answer it. Deal? Everybody's reaching for their phone right now, putting it on airplane mode or whatever it is. It's one thing to be afraid. It's another to be fearful. And so the word is delio, which means to be, forgive me for it, cowardly or timid. It's the similar word when the word says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity or cowardliness. That's what the word is, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And so we talk about fear a lot. It's one of the most basic human emotions. Forget that. It's one of the most basic biological functions. Animals get afraid. There's a survival instinct. I get afraid. You throw a baseball at my head, I duck. Why? Because I'm not stupid. You know, it's okay to be afraid of some things. I'm afraid of running across a four-lane highway because I know that cars are bigger than me and that I'll get hurt. That's not wrong. That's not a sin to be afraid. But Jesus is saying, listen, there are times that you're going to be afraid, but I don't want you to be fearful. I don't want you to just have the heart that is just racked by fear and worrying about things that you don't need to be worried about. In Deuteronomy 31, the Lord tells his people this. He says, be strong and courageous. Say that with me. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that beautiful? He'll never leave you or forsake you. What I found too is just sometimes the season can just wear you down. You know, Christmas season is one I fight hard as a church leader, because one of the things I've noticed over the years that if you let people, they will put a party on every night of December if you don't rein it in. And so I try to tell our staff, listen, you get one party, because they already have 18 parties with all their friends and relatives and stuff like that. We're just going to have a couple parties. It's important to celebrate the Christmas season, but don't load people's calendar down where they're just running ragged. You know, I can't tell. One of my favorite sayings, and either it was General George Patton or it was the football coach Vince Lombardi, and I'll just give them both credit because it's a great phrase. But they both said to their followers, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Isn't it true? You can think you're being brave, but then you just get worn down. Your immune system gets low. Your energy level gets low. Your capacity for handling it just kind of, and then something hits you, and it can just be devastating. But the Lord tells us, listen, do not be afraid. Be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. I love it. Several times in the book of Joshua, which I think was a prophecy also. Who is it for? Yeah, he just knows the right answer is always Hezekiah. But in Joshua, several times at the beginning of Joshua, he says, Joshua, be strong, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. You know what the word be strong is, that verb? It's chazak. It's the first part of Hezekiah's name. It's chazakiah. So over and over and over, he's telling him, be strong. Just like God was with Joshua, he's going to be with you, King Hezekiah. Just like God was with Moses, he's going to be with you. And just like God was with those people, he's going to be with you too. Be strong. Be courageous. And you'll find out that even in the darkest of night, Jesus himself is our peace. He is our peace. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus because they were having divisions. They had factions in the early church. He addressed it in Romans, he addressed it in Corinth, and in Ephesians, where he pastored for 2.5 years. And he wrote to them, and he said, listen, I know some of you are Jews and some are Gentiles. Boy, I'm glad that controversy has gone away. Still on the evening news, people are battling and saying things against Jewish people and whatever. But the church, the early church, was struggling with it. And he was reminding them once again, this is where all these great phrases in Ephesians, that you are all in Christ. It says, forget about that some of you are of this faction. And it was a big deal because you would come to church and it's not just that they were Jewish and that they were Gentile or Greek, but they dressed Jewish and they dressed Greek. They spoke Jewish and they spoke Greek. There was just this division. And he said, forget about all that stuff. You're all one in Christ. I'm just so grateful that the elections are over and that the pandemic's over. Finally, we have no reason to be divided anymore. And then I turn on the evening news and they just harp and harp and harp and harp at it because that's what sells. If it didn't sell commercials, they wouldn't be doing it all the time. But that's what people want. They want to go and root for their team and just be on one side. But when we come together at the church, this is a time for us to just comfort one another. Amen? The Bible says this. He says, for he himself is our peace. Listen, he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. He's destroyed all of those barriers. And it's not just that he gave us peace, but listen what he says. He himself is our peace. Have you ever heard of the Christmas Truce of 1914? There have been movies written on Joyeux Noël, I don't know how to say it in French, was a movie a few years back. It's just one of the most amazing days in human history. It was during World War I, 1914, and there were the soldiers, and it was coming up on Christmas. Now, I have to say, this is at the beginning of the war. This didn't continue on throughout the war, and they'd only been fighting for a few months. They had yet to see the worst tragedies and loss of life that they were going to, but when you think about World War I, imagine this. Imagine being one of those young men and being sent into a battlefield in the mud. You know, you are of the generation that saw airplanes and automobiles invented. They didn't exist when you were born. And these young men had never seen a movie. They'd never seen war on a film or war on TV. We know all of these things. We know what it looks like. But could you imagine one of those young men leaving their farm or leaving their house and being thrown into a cold trench in the mud with no food, and then they blow the whistle and you have to jump out of your trench and go run through the mud and the barbed wire while somebody shoots at you, and then run back into your trench and they do the same thing. And after a few months, it began to dawn on these young men that those guys over there were just as miserable as we are. And they're on the battle lines in Belgium. As Christmas was approaching, one of them in the other trench began to sing a Christmas carol. And it began to dawn on them, wait a second, I know we're English, so we're Anglican, but they're German, so doesn't that mean they're Lutheran? Doesn't that mean we're both Christians? And they began to sing together, and then just little by little, it was not from the top, it was from the bottom. But one of them stood up, and then the other one stood up. I've heard interviews from guys that were actually there. They said, we just finally realized we weren't shooting at each other. And they came out, and they exchanged presents, and they just had a truce just for a little bit till the generals got back in charge, and they started fighting again. But just a few years ago, a great commercial, and you have to forgive me, this commercial was made by a grocery store chain in England. But it's just one of the greatest representations of the Christmas truce in 1914. Watch this.
Jenkins, Oakley.
Knight.
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
I'm schön.
Thank you.
Christmas. Frohe Weihnachten.
Commercial. I just think, man, who here thinks it's about time for a little peace to break out in our country, for a little of his shalom to just come? And you know what's amazing to me is it's when Jesus talked about it, he didn't talk about shalom or peace being something that just happens accidentally. He talked about being peacemakers. He talked about being people that brought it, that wellness. Jesus makes peace even when it cannot be found. He came up on Jerusalem knowing that there was going to be a terrible war that was going to destroy that city, and he cried over them. He wept. He said, if you had known, even you, especially in this, your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. He said, if you had just known, opened your eyes and known the things that were going to make for your peace, that he is the one that brings that peace into our lives. There's a picture on the background that just reminds me of one of the early experiences with the Lord. And I was walking home from school, and it must have been in the winter. I cannot for the life of me remember why I was walking home from school up in the Heights in Vancouver at night. Or maybe it was from a friend's house, but it was snowing. It just started to snow. So there were a couple inches on the ground, and I was walking down these little neighborhood streets where nobody had walked yet. And I remember looking up and watching the snow fall by the streetlights and seeing the warm lights in the houses. And it was just so peaceful. You know, when you're walking out in the snow, it's so quiet. It's just so peaceful. And I just had one of those moments where I said, man, everybody's busy and minding their own business in their houses. And here outside, it's like the grace of God just falling. It's like his peace is just ruling and reigning. I pray that for every single one of us. Whatever's going on in your house, whatever's going on in your life, that the peace of God would just rule and reign. Would you receive that in Jesus' name? May the peace of God rule in your house. May the peace of God rule in your life. May the peace of God rule in your family. Rule in your marriage. Rule in your relationships. Whatever has happened, let it be a thing of the past, that forgiveness would break out, that grace would break out. If you can't find forgiveness, ask Jesus for some of his. If you can't find peace, I got good news for you today. Jesus said, I left you mine. My peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. His peace abides in every season of our life, no matter what's going on. He is the one that brings peace. The last verse that I want to read is my birthday verse, just because I found this verse also about the same season. You know, I'd had experiences with the Lord at camp and had experienced the Holy Spirit in my life. And yet I went through a season where for several weeks I had nightmares all night long. And I can't even tell you, I remember some of the images, but I don't ever talk about them. And I had a vivid imagination. And for some reason, when my eyes would close, these horrible images would come in and I couldn't shake them. It was then when I discovered I had a little King James Gideon's Bible on my nightstand. And I would open it up, and in the back of it, because I didn't know where to read, in the back of it, it said, where to find help when. Have you ever seen one of those Bibles? Thank God for the Gideons, because I can't tell you how many people probably come to know the Lord because of their Bibles in the hotels. But I went to the back, and I said, where to find help when afraid. And the first verse that pops up is Psalm 4:8, which I thought, that's great, that's my birthday. This is a sign from God. And I went and I read this verse. And it says this, my favorite verse. It says, I will both, would you read it with me? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, O Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I have it memorized in the King James, because NIV is fine too, but it changes the, you only, Lord, make me dwell in safety. I like it this way, because it can be either way. Lord, you only make me dwell in safety. In other words, when my heart or my mind wants to dwell in fear, anxiety, You make me dwell in safety. You make me dwell in safety. Say that with me. You make me dwell in safety. He's the one that guards our hearts and our minds. And I found when that fear comes, I just started quoting verses. It's when I fell in love for the first time with the Word of God, because I found the power of the Word of God to settle a troubled heart, to settle a heart that was fearful. The Word of God is full of His faithful promises. Even in seasons like this last one, Molly and I have just bawled ourselves to sleep for the last 3 nights, just crying, loving on each other. And I want to tell you, in the midst of that all, down deep in my heart, I have peace. Those aren't contrary. Peace isn't just everything is going right in your life. Peace comes and abides even when you're hurting, even when you're struggling. That's when we need it more than ever. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Would you pray with me today? Father God, Lord, I just pray for anybody here that's just grieving. Lord, we lift up Toonie and her family, Lord, as they're grieving, and the Kotkas and Larry and all those that are missing Bob. And across this room, Lord, I know that there are a lot of us that are carrying grief, that are hurting, that are struggling. And I just pray right now for your peace to fall. Lord, may you just come and rule and reign in our hearts. Peace that surpasses understanding, Lord Jesus. We just give you all of the praise. Friend, while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy, if you're here in this place and you know you just need to make something right with the Lord, it doesn't matter what it is. You just know there's something that's not right, and you just need to get it right before you leave. Maybe it's just telling the Lord you're sorry. Maybe it's just welcoming Him into your life. Maybe it's just giving something to Him that you've been hanging on to. But if that's you and you just need to do some business with the Lord, would you just look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that? I may not know, but He knows. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, friends, if you're able to, would you stand to your feet and reach out and grab somebody's hand today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray with me, would you? Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Rule and reign and bring your peace. Everything in my life, I lay before you. All of my worries and all of my troubles are in your hands. And I trust in you. And I give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering and just praise Him today. I hope all of you come next week and bring your friends. Even if they don't go to church, they're going to love it. It's going to be awesome. So, Lord bless you. Have a great day.